Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guests on this edition are Baca Family Historical Project Community Engagement Specialist Nora Chavez and Staff Genealogist Joyce Gonzalez to talk to us about New Mexico's medical mystery from the mid-1600s. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. What is this medical mystery? I've never heard of it.
Well, actually, it's been around for a very long time, from the mid-1600s, and the medical mystery is cerebral cavernous angiomas. It is a genetic mutation that has been passed down on a dominant gene from about 1630 to the present day. It's on a dominant gene, so it's handed down person to person. It never skips a generation, although there is a 50% chance of getting it from either your mother or your father.
And how long has this been known? How have people been aware of this?
Well, the genetic mutation itself was discovered at UNM in 1995, I believe. Joyce, is that correct?
Yes, I think it was. It was really kind of the inception of the MRI and the use of the MRI, that they found this gene and they started understanding it.
So once this gene was identified and studied, Dr. Leslie Morrison, who is now retired from UNM, a very well-known person, she had worked with Joyce, who herself is a patient and has this medical condition, tried to understand where it came from, and they knew that it had to have a common set of grandparents. So that's where Joyce and her genealogical research came into play.
Yes, it took several years of research, about 12, before we could really discover this. But Dr. Morrison told me two things. She said when they look at the mutation here in the Southwest, it was always identical, which told them that all of us with the CCM1, as it's also called, came from the same set of grandparents or grandparent who had this illness.
Well, let's talk about this founder gene, as it's also known. What are some of the symptoms?
Well, it has a variety of symptoms. Basically, it's like a raspberry that grows in your brain. And the symptoms are so different because it depends on where it is located in the brain, what kind of symptoms you get, whether it's vocal, neurological, you could have seizures, headaches, migraine headaches, etc. So there's a variety of symptoms. But one of the things I want to let people know that they may have heard it called the common Hispanic mutation. In Spanish, they may have heard it called los fríos. So sometimes it could be passed on and you may have heard of it, but you didn't know what it was. You only knew of the symptoms or that it was something that your grandmother, your grandfather, or whatever had. And so we're here doing outreach throughout the state to talk about this, to educate people, because this genetic mutation affects Hispanic and Mexican families in the New Mexico area. And here in Las Cruces, also, we are having a higher concentration in the Frontera area, in the border area.
So these are Spaniards who arrived in northern New Mexico in the mid-1600s.
Correct.
And their descendants.
Yes, to this very day. So the original mutation occurred in the Baca family, which is why we're called the Baca Family Historical Project, with Cristobal Baca and his wife, and actually it was the grandson of the original Cristobal Baca, around the mid-1600s, and or his wife, Ana Maria de Lara. And so because it is on a dominant gene, it has literally been handed down family to family for the last 420 years.
And about how many people get it? One out of 10, one out of 100, one out of 500? Joyce?
You know, it's been really hard to come up with that number. We think, if you look at it genealogically, what we do think is today there's probably about 30,000 people in New Mexico who have the illness. Now, unfortunately, most of those people are misdiagnosed or undiagnosed today. And to add a little bit to some of the symptoms, one important thing to keep in mind is that people who have strokes before the age of 60 is when we are concerned and wonder whether or not we may be looking at this illness. And then, as Nora talked about, the seizures, they're usually more the petit mal seizures. That's probably our most common symptoms. But Dr. Morrison said when she deals with a family that has this illness, quite often she hears them say, oh, there's a lot of aneurysms in our family. Well, as she reminds them, aneurysms are not hereditary. So if you've been seeing this, the chances you're looking at CCM are going to be higher.
Nora mentioned that in Spanish it's called los fríos. That means being cold. Is that one of the symptoms?
It was more the shivering, which was probably a petit mal seizure that someone was having. And so when you have this, and it looks like you're shivering, que tiene los fríos, but it was probably a small seizure.
So you were saying that it's for people who are younger than 60 years old that it would affect, or if by the time you're 60, you haven't had it, then you probably won't get it?
No.
Not necessarily, no. It's possible to see it. We've seen it in very young children because you're born with this mutation. It's just like the color of your eyes. But when it shows up, it really just depends. Sometimes in New Mexico, typically, we can see it show itself up around the age of between 30 and 40 years old. But on the other hand, we have seen young children with it. We have seen older people who have never had an incident of it. And I do want to mention that, interestingly enough, only about half of the people who have this illness will ever have symptoms in their lives, but they're still carriers, and their children will still have a 50% chance of inheriting it from them, and their child may have a whole different experience. And that's why it is very important to be diagnosed with this illness if you do have it.
Now, if you're older than 60 years, should you be diagnosed?
Certainly. If you have a family history, if you come from the Baca family, and amazingly, the majority of Hispanics here living in New Mexico are related to the Baca family, even though they don't recognize that name in their family tree. The Baca family was a very prominent family in New Mexico, very well off, and they married into every Hispanic family and many Anglo families as well here in New Mexico. So it's very possible that you have this genetic mutation. What we do when we have our conferences, and we recently had one here in Las Cruces, is that we will help you work with your family tree to see if you are in fact related to the Baca family. Now, even then, within the Baca families, there's usually maybe three or four lines that have a much higher risk of inheriting this genetic mutation than others. So just even if you are a Baca, we don't want to send people into a panic. We just want to alert you to this as something that you should look into.
And Joyce, are there other family names that belong to this group?
Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, most Hispanic families that have a 300 to 400 year history in New Mexico married into the Baca family, and we have discovered several names that are a little bit higher risk than the rest. And some examples of those are Aragon, especially from like the Mora, Las Vegas area. Armijo, especially from like the Socorro area. Sidi Baca is probably our highest risk group. Doesn't mean that because you have that name, you have the illness, but it means you're going to be at a little bit higher risk because all Sidi Bacas come from Luis Maria Cabeza de Baca. And he had the Peña Blanca land grant, so that's kind of an area that people tend to come from with that Sidi Baca name. The Campos name, that's actually the family that I come through, and I have the illness, and we see that more in the Santa Rosa, Puerto de Luna area. The Casaus or Casados name, and we see that a lot from the Cuba, New Mexico area. Contreras, that might come a little bit more from the Mexico area. We have Espinosa, Gonzalez, Lopez, more from the Socorro Sabinal area, Lucero, more from the Peña Blanca area, also the Luna family, more from the Santa Rosa, Puerto de Luna area, the Martinez family, mostly from northern New Mexico, the Maese or Mays name, also the Garcia family, the Ortiz family, more from the Las Vegas, New Mexico area, the Padilla family, the Quintana family, again, more from the Anton Chico area. We have Sice, we have Silva, and the Silva tends to come more from the southern Colorado area. And then we have Varela and Vigil, and again, the Vigil tends to come more from the Mora, New Mexico area.
my grandmother was a Vigil. Do you think I should go and get tested?
I guess the next question that I would ask you to make that determination is if you've seen any symptoms in your family, and that can include cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, parents, children. If you've seen any of the symptoms, like we talked about, seizures, strokes before the age of 60, aneurysms, or some neurological undetected illness that you really don't feel like you've ever gotten the right answers for what's going on in life, then I would say that we would make that decision at that time, because we can do DNA testing at this point for the illness. And keep in mind, if you're negative, that means that you can never pass it on to your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. It is not in your family or not going to be in your family.
Is there a cure for this mutation?
No. This is one of the things that people, of course, have right to be very concerned about. What we do right now is we treat the symptoms. We will treat, of course, for seizures, etc. But there are also things that you can do to protect yourself and your body from making a brain bleed be worse. One of the biggest things that we tell people is you can't take aspirin. You can't take any kind of blood thinners. You can't take vitamin E. You need to eat healthier. There are certain foods that are better. And this is one of the things that we talk about in our conferences and the community presentations that we do. Of course, there are two medications that right now are in human trials. They're being tested that we hope in about 5 years or so will be available for doctors to prescribe to you. One that would hopefully minimize a bleed, another one that will shrink the angioma in the brain, but these are still being tested. But there are a lot of things that you can do proactively. And one of the things that our organization does is teach you how to become your own advocate when seeking medical assistance for this diagnosis. If we find that you are coming from a high-risk family, we provide free to low-cost DNA testing. And this is the same kind of test like you would get from Ancestry, where you either spit or you do the cheek swab, and it gets sent off, and it takes 4 to 6 weeks. And then the results go to your doctor, though. They do not go to you personally. And then your doctor, if you are positive, will work with you and make sure you are referred to the right neurologist, usually at UNMH, to make sure that you get the proper care. Now, this genetic test is all it tests is for this genetic mutation.
And they can find out more information on your website, bacafamily.org, and for upcoming events as well. And the Angioma Alliance.
The Angioma Alliance is a national and international nonprofit organization. It's based in Virginia, and they are our parent organization, and they have funded the Baca Family Project here in New Mexico to do the outreach.
And you can find that information at angioma.org. When is the next conference?
You can always go to our website at bacafamily.org, upcoming events, to find out where we're going to be. We list all of our community presentations. We also go to family reunions. If your family is having a reunion, or if you come from a large family, you want to know more, just contact us. We will come out and do a community presentation for you.
If you do come from a family that you think might be dealing with this illness, or you've had symptoms yourself, you can always contact us, and we can actually do testing. Everything can be done through the mail, and we can do it on a one-by-one basis.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that information to us. As I said, I had never heard about. For the Baca Family Historical Project, we have Nora Chavez, Community Engagement Specialist, and Staff Genealogist Joyce Gonzalez.
Thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.